All right, so I don't know if this is a random thought or just a terrible rant.
Uh-oh.
But I've been thinking about, you know, you got the Dave Chappelle situation with HBO Max and Comedy Central. And it made me start thinking about, like, Dave Chappelle was performing here in Austin, and I wanted to get tickets. And so those tickets sold out like that. Like, I was trying my best to try to get tickets. But they were like $100. And then I thought to myself, what if I paid $100 to hear Dave Chappelle rant about Comedy Central, HBO Max, and how he got hosed? And I'm like, do I really want to pay for that shit? Right? And it made me think about other celebrities, like, you know, Kanye. You know, when Kanye goes on his rants at his concerts, I'm not paying for that shit. I want to hear All the Lights. I want to hear Jesus Walks. I want to hear Gold Digger. And then get the damn hell off the stage. But I don't want to hear your opinion about what's going on in your life. I don't care. Right. And like, I guess the random thought is, should we care about these celebrities and entertainers and, you know, looking at them as human beings and what's going on in the world? Should we really care about their shit? Or should we just pay them to do the things that we like them for?
We've asked these entertainers to be more honest with us, let us into their lives. Mm-hmm. And now that they are, now you want to complain that they're being too open, that they're telling you about the problems they have? Isn't this what we asked for? How hypocritical is this? I mean, seriously, you want to know about Kanye. You want to see inside his house. And don't say you didn't, because you watch MTV Cribs back in the day. So it's not just about social media, okay? So after you ask to be in their lives and they bring you in their lives, which includes the problems they do go through, now you want to go, I don't want to hear this shit. I paid you to dance, so dance, motherfucker, dance.
All right. Valid points.
Okay.
Valid points. No, I didn't watch 100% MTV Cribs. Have I seen a few episodes in my lifetime? Yes. But did I watch enough to that to say I really care about how they live? No. But here's my thing. If I'm going to treat them as a regular person, to me, that regular person is also that waiter at that upscale restaurant they go to that they treat like shit. The regular person is that barista at the coffee shop where they get coffee and treat that person like shit. So you don't care about our lives. You want us to understand what's going on in your world. I would totally pay $100 and listen to Dave Chappelle's rant about what's going on in his life, because what he's saying is valid. I'm not taking anything away from that. But if I'm going to pay $100 for that, to me, that's a therapy session, right? And that's what I'm paying for, is for him to have this cathartic moment where he gets his shit out and processes it, and I'm just listening to it, right? Now, if I go to therapy, I'm going to pay money, but I'm going to get something out of that. I don't get anything out of that for me. What I get is, I get out of that for Dave and for these other entertainers, like what's going on in their world. Granted, they are human beings. All I ask is, would they do the same? Would they actually stop what they're doing and listen to that barista at whatever coffee shop and listen to the problems in their life that they're dealing with? Would they listen to how they've got hosed by their manager or whatever and take the time to do the same? My thing is, I have no sympathy for you and your shit. And whatever problems you have, that's great. We all have problems. We're all struggling. Some of us that can barely scrape the money to go see these performers, we're struggling way more than what you're dealing with. But when I go to that concert, when I go to that moment, I'm paying to hear you make me laugh. I'm paying to hear you sing that song that I liked. Mm-hmm. I'm paying for you to do that performance that I like. That's it. What's going on in your world, I don't give a shit. Because you don't really give a shit about the person that if you go to a bar to get a whiskey, you don't give a shit about that bartender's life. You want a whiskey and that's it. But you want to make me pay $100 and listen to the shit that's going on in your world? Fuck you. I have a problem with that. I just have a problem with that. If whatever you're dealing with in your world, no one cares but you. And so
definitely not a random thought. Definitely a rant.
It's a rant. This is a full-on rant, and I'm owning it. That's bullshit that no one wants to pay money to listen to your problems, celebrity, entertainer, whoever you are, even if you are an open mic comedian. I don't want to pay my $5 entrance fee to listen to you get shit off your chest. You know, you tell some jokes. That's what you're on stage to do. Do that and move the hell on. But don't have this moment where you want me to like connect and be like, oh, well, they're really a true person and they have feelings. I don't give a shit. It's not what I paid for.
Tell right? the joke I like, Dave. Tell the one about just tell, because I'm wearing a cop's uniform does not make me.
tell the joke I like. Tell a joke, right? If you're an entertainer, sing me songs. I don't want to hear your political views. I don't want to hear about what happened to you and your wife and your daughter on Easter Sunday. I don't give a shit about any of that. All I want is sing the song, tell the joke.
Do you feel better now that you've gotten that off your chest?
I feel a little bit better. I'm going to sleep a little bit well tonight because I got that off because this has been festering me for 2 or 3 weeks.
Thank God this podcast is free so that nobody has to go, you know what? I came here to hear you talk about some shit, but not this.
They would be 100% right in that. But this is free. So I can do this.
So take it, damn it. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and heard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. We are those people. And as you can see, we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, this is the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast.
Indeed. Well, we know what made you mad over the last 2 weeks, but anything that made you smile this week? I mean, it sounds like you've been festering some feelings for a while.
You know, I had a really rough, busy week at work. Mm-hmm. And this is something I learned from somebody a long time ago when they talk about payday. Always like pay yourself first, right? You always hear that, you know, yeah. Put money towards savings, whatever. But I'm a big believer in treat yourself first. So mm-hmm. Friday was payday. And I'm like, I don't feel like, you know, I don't have groceries. I've been traveling a lot. I need to get some groceries. But I don't feel like doing anything basic tonight for dinner. And so I was walking around the grocery store and I found this like 12 to 14 ounce lobster tail. Got some asparagus and whatever. Got some Old Bay. And I like treated myself to a lobster dinner on Friday night. And I'll be honest, it made me smile. Shit was good. It's worth every single penny of it. It was great. I had a really great dinner by myself on a Friday night, and I loved every bit of it. So that's what made me smile.
So did you give it up to yourself at the end of the night after that lobster dinner?
A gentleman never tells. A gentleman never tells, but let me just say this. Got some doubt.
Oh my God. Well, you know, after hearing you rant like that, what made me smile, or should I say what's going to make me smile, is your reaction to this. I saw this the other day and I was like, let me go find the full thing. And I just know how you love this. So without further ado. Oh.
Let me show you what we got right here. Ooh. First off, we got a box full of fries. The Cajun and spice. Oh. And we got a little bit of apple pie.
God damn it. Mm-mm-mm.
And then we go move to the bigger box. We go move to the
stop it.
In a stop bit it. Of a, we got magic. We got 12 beats.
Stop
got the legs
it.
And the thighs and the ooh.
Stop it. Stop it.
I hate you. I hate you right now. I hate you.
Oh my God. Oh, that didn't only make me smile, it's making me cry right now.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I grew up on Popeyes. My family's from New Orleans. I grew up on Popeyes. Popeyes is delicious. But I can't stand to see these commercials with Black people singing about Popeyes. I grew up on it. Not once did any of us come home and see people in the house singing because we got a box of Popeyes chicken. I hate those commercials with the passion. With a passion. I like fried chicken. You'll never see me singing songs about fried chicken. It's good. It's not sing song good. It's just stop it.
Yeah, let's be honest. When he got to that part about the fried chicken and the 12 piece, he broke that beat down. That shit got funky.
No, stop it. I'm sorry.
We got 12 piece.
You can call me bougie, whatever you want. I hate that shit. It's oh good. It's not that good. It's not sing a song good. Stop it.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm literally wiping tears away. After I couldn't have picked a better time to drop this video for you, just because this is the day that you're having your rant. Let's just change the mood. See, there we go. You're welcome. You're welcome.
No. Kristen knows I hate that commercial. And so she gives me a hard time about it too. And I'm like, I've never sang a song because I got some fried chicken. I've never had. I hate that commercial.
I'm going to send her this video. So anytime you give her a hard time, she can just break it out. It'll stop every argument or start it, whichever way you want to go.
No, if she starts singing to me about fried chicken, that's close to breakup stage right there. I'd be like, what did you say?
She's like,
what'd you say to me?
What'd you say about my mama?
Yeah. Talk about mama, but don't be singing fried chicken songs to me. That's really going to set me up.
Oh my God. Yeah, as we get into politics as usual, man, you know who, I just got to really think that Trump is in this I just don't give a fuck moment right now. He's got to be.
Yeah, he's on one, and there's nothing about COVID, there's nothing about taking care of the country. Even if you know, regardless of what the judges say and all that, you realize, okay, I only got a couple months left. You're not doing anything really positive to motivate people at all. I mean, he's going to stick to what he's been doing. The whole, these allegations about voter fraud and all that without there being detail behind it. It's just bad, right? And that's all he talks about, just constantly. All he talks about is how he got robbed of the election. He has a base of people that believe that 100%.
And what's, I think, even more disheartening about all of this is the fact that you've got congressmen and women who are backing this, Republican congressmen and women who are backing this 110%. And I'm like, do you really believe this? Or is this just a way to save your political career? Because we've watched this happen before. The Republican Party has been taken over by the Tea Party back in the late 2000s, right? Remember, I think it was the midterms, that 2010. Midterms, and what happened was you had the Tea Party asking for people to go further right, go all the way to the right. And they were like, no, well, that's not where we are. We're more, you know, right, middle right, you know. And what is, okay, well, we'll kick you out of office. And they put somebody else up against them and got them out. And it's, I think that has scared people to this point. And that's where Trump is right now with the Tea Party, the new Tea Party, the Trump Party.
Yeah, I mean, he holds a lot of power. He has a lot of influence on a lot of people. I totally get it. And I always questioned, are some of these people who are going down this path that they feel the election was stolen and they're trying to fight for it, are they doing that because they truly believe that? Or are they doing it out of fear of the wrath of Trump if they don't support that?
Yeah.
You know, but regardless of it, here's where I have no issue with it. If you want to keep fighting around these votes and all that stuff, and you feel you got robbed, technically that's his legal right to do that. And I say go for it. What I don't like is the fact that you've not once spoken out about the COVID and the pandemic and where we are and what the government's doing. We know that we have the vaccine that's coming out, but we're not hearing from the leadership. Right. And I think that's the key. If you're still the leader, you're still the leader of the free world, you should be speaking about what we should be doing with the pandemic. And that's not happening. And so that's the part that bothers me. The other thing is that you have all this information and you know how deadly this virus is. And you know how dangerous it can be if the citizens, we don't keep wearing masks and we keep getting vaccinated, whatever. You're not speaking about that to help ease people's minds around, I should take these two shots, right? Because it's one shot, and then 21 days later, you get the second one. You should be focusing more on that. Whether you win the election or not, focus on that and say, hey, you were the one that got America out of the pandemic, you know, but you got the vaccine. I mean, you helped, you know, Operation Warp Speed. Awesome. Great. That's good. But talk about, I don't know. I just feel like his focus isn't where it should be. I mean, because you have your lawyers and your legal team. There's these other things.
Yeah.
He should be the face of talking about how he got Warp Speed going. We have the vaccine coming out. Like if I was him, I would be every day on TV talking about how awesome I am that the vaccines are coming out now and people are going to start getting the treatment.
I'm not surprised that he's not, because go back to 2016. He set this up. What we're watching right now is what he set up in 2016 when he said, "Yeah, I believe the results of the election. If I win," and it was wash, rinse, repeat. He did it again this time. So I'm not surprised, and he's never done anything the way he's supposed to. So yeah. I'm not surprised that he's not. I'm not surprised that he's now calling out the governor of Arizona, Georgia. The governor of Georgia as well, yeah. Because you know what? They're not doing what he wants to do, which is literally hashtag steal the election.
Yeah,
he's like, turn those votes over to me because everything else is false. There's no way I can lose. I am the greatest, and I believe that. So therefore, it is so.
Right.
I mean, I wonder if they're actually going to still keep giving him top secret information. They do that for all other past presidents. But do you give it to him? Because do you trust him? Does anybody outside of his followers trust him?
Well, technically, they have to, right? So they have to keep giving it to him, whether they like it or not. Now, luckily, I think this week, Biden started to get some security briefings that he wasn't getting before, which is great. My question is this, though. Why are we not hearing more about Giuliani? Like, if this was your man, like, obviously, you didn't give a shit about Herman Cain, who campaigned for you and did all that, caught the virus. You didn't really say much about him at all. Mm-hmm. Now, with Giuliani, he went to battle for you.
Yeah.
To me, you should be given a daily update on how Giuliani's doing and seeing how he is. Same as when Melania caught it. When Melania caught COVID, you didn't hear much about her. You heard Trump. But like, to me, these are your people that are close to you. And what does that say about you as a human being? It's nothing that we don't already know. But I look at this and I'm like, I really want to know how Giuliani's doing. Because if, let's say, if anybody close in his party that has power, Herman Cain didn't have it. But if someone close in his party that has power, they wind up catching corona and they die. Will that help him and his base start to take it seriously?
No. I mean, I think the only person you'd hear him really give daily updates about if they tested positive was Ivanka. Other than that, there's nobody else that he cares about more than himself. That's it. Yes. Something else that kind of turned heads this week was, as we get into For the Love of Sport, you've got Utah State. They had their last football game, or was supposed to be this past Saturday, but it didn't happen because the players opted out. They boycotted the game because they had an interim football coach, head coach, mm-hmm. who is of Polynesian descent. And they had a meeting with the university president as this search for the head coach was going. Now, he also interviewed for the job as well. Well, she told them, I guess, that he wasn't going to be the right person for the job mm-hmm. because of his religious beliefs and the fact that they didn't think that it would reflect positively on the university's football program in the long run.
Yeah.
And so the players were, wait a minute. And so they decided to opt out of the game. They boycotted the game. Now, granted, they didn't have a winning season, so it's not like they were missing a whole lot. But you have some of these who are seniors. It's their last football game, who will never play in the next level. So this was their last game, and they opted out of it. And it was their choice, but the fact that they opted out of this game in support of their coach or the interim coach, based on the fact that here you have this university president saying he can't get the job because of his religious beliefs.
Yep. All right. So my opinion might not be popular, which I'm used to. Now, Utah State, what type of school is that? Is that a religion-based school?
I'm assuming it is.
It is. And what religion is it based off of?
If it's Utah, I'm going to assume Mormon.
Exactly. Everything about that school is all about religion. Mm-hmm. And so whatever conversation they had, if they felt like this guy's views didn't align with where they're trying to take it, to me, I think they have a right. You chose to go to a school or coach at a school that is very Mormon-centric and all about religious beliefs. There's a code of conduct for the students and certain things the students can't do. You're not supposed to be having hookups in your dorm rooms, no parties, no drinking, no sex, all these different things that are part of the Mormon faith, right? So I get it. Like, if you don't, if you don't want to deal with that type of politics in a university, don't go to a religious-based faith school. If I go to Notre Dame and I'm atheist and I'm a coach, could that have a negative impact on what Notre Dame is about as an organization? Maybe. But if the school is interviewing you and they realize, wow, you're kind of atheist and we are pretty hardcore Catholic because we're Notre Dame, mm-hmm. then that should tell you that maybe this is not the job for you. That's how I look at that. Like, I get it. I think the students were have every right to do what they want to do. But if you're going to be a coach at that type of institution that is religious based and your views don't align 100% with what the organizations or the what's the word I want to use? The administration, bam. If the administration's views, if you don't align 100% with the administration's views and you're at a Mormon school, well, then you don't get the job.
Yeah, you know, so I'm going to go back on what you said about the code of conduct and what they have in this code of conduct, especially for the students, because I see your point on that about the head football coach. I can see that because he's been an assistant coach with them for a number of years. So I get that part of, okay, but this is the head football coach. This is the guy leading the program.
Right.
So, okay, I can understand you have these requirements for it, but is that written in there? For one, is it written in the job description? You must be a devout Mormon in order to do this, because we've also seen in every student handbook there ever was. I mean, UTSA had a very different one when we were in school, where, you know, in the dorm it was, well, you can't stay over more than 3 days in a row. But when I went to Fayetteville State, I transferred, went to Fayetteville State, and the first thing, I swear to you, I opened the student handbook when they handed it to me. The first thing I opened and go, Fayetteville State does not condone sexual activity. I was like, wait a minute. And then it goes to say, you can't have anybody in of the opposite sex in your room and the door be closed. So the door's got to be open. It can only be between certain hours during the day. But let's be honest, at night, you know what the security on campus did? Made sure the girls who were sneaking into the guys' dorms were safe.
Right.
Because, you, as you know, most HBCUs are not in the best part of town. So make sure as they're sneaking over there, not in their high heels and evening gowns, but, you know, wearing the sweatsuits and the hoodies, you know, because you still got to play the game. You know they're watching, and they know you see them, but they're just like, let's just make sure they get there safely, that nobody comes off the street and tries to snatch one of these young ladies. Just make sure they get where they're going. But that's the code of conduct at the school. And you go, all right, well, it's not going to be by the letter every single time.
Okay, you can argue that. And I'll take it to the professional world. The American Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be a smoker and work for them.
Mm.
Now, you think smoking, no big deal. Some people smoke, some people don't smoke, they can still do the job. That's part of who they are.
Yeah.
So if you're going to work for that organization, don't be a smoker, right? If you're going to work for the DARE program and you're going to be an executive on the DARE program, even though that's a nonprofit and you're going to get money, but you know what the DARE program is about, and yet you like to drink and drive every now and then, this is not the program for you. So to me, the same, if you choose to coach or be in any type of leadership position at a school that is very faith-based, you should be 100% aligned with whatever that faith base is. Now, even though you're a football coach, you can still tell the players to go knock someone's head off and all that stuff. But also, you're still got to tell them, don't have
in the name of Jesus, sex. Of course.
don't have lay hands upon that linebacker who's trying to hit the quarterback. But if you're going to be a head coach of that organization, you need to be 100% aligned with what their viewpoint is. And if you're not, well, then don't coach at that organization. Now, can that organization discriminate you? Which I think that's the difference. I think that's what the player's issue is. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're discriminating against this person. And I think that could be a little murky waters because we don't really know the detail of it.
Right.
But if they don't feel that this person's views is aligned with what the organization wants to do, they have every right to do that. And I look at the students, I'm like, the players, you're at a Mormon school who's telling you you can't drink and have sex and all these things, and you're athletes, which those are two weird things for athletes, because I've never met an athlete who doesn't drink and doesn't have sex, right? There are some, right? I remember when I was, you know, as a Laker fan, Byron Scott, Tim Tebow, all these different players.
What was his name from the Lakers back in the day? Green. What was his name?
AC Green.
There you go.
It's few and far between that there are these people. And so if you can be the star athlete and not have sex and not drink and all that and be a good role model, awesome, high five. But a lot of athletes can't do that. And so if this coach doesn't fully align, if the administration doesn't feel this person is 100% aligned to what their values are as a school, I feel like they're not wrong in what they did.
No, I feel you on that. I guess I got to agree with you on that. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
What? Hold on. Can you say that again?
No,
is there anything that repeat? Can I record?
No.
I'm going to record this. When this goes live, I'm going to record this little spot. at least once a week, I'm going to send you this video where you're like, I guess I agree with you on that.
I guess I agree with you.
Yeah.
But the same way that you're going to have to agree with me on this next point, and that is, and I've said this about LeBron before, LBJ is just a little too sensitive. Have you seen this? So he's finally talking about Kyrie Irving. He was asked, you know, some questions about his new team, his new teammates. And, you know, Kyrie Irving said that now he finally feels he's got, and Kevin Durant, somebody who he can trust to take those clutch shots in those moments where it doesn't have to be him. It's the first time in his career that he's got somebody else he can depend on. And apparently that quote was given, the interview was given back during the finals. So LeBron's finally talking about it, and now he's all in his feelings, and I just felt it was, you know, it was a bad thing to say. I held him up. I did this. When I came back to Cleveland, it was all about him, all about trying to make him MVP. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. If I remember this season, when you really weren't the MVP, it was really Anthony Davis that was carrying the team before the bubble. But you were all in your feelings because only 3 votes.
No, sir. I'll disagree with you on that one because
why?
The Lakers for the, so it's two separate. I'll agree and I'll disagree. Let me say that. Here's where I disagree. I disagree in the fact that LeBron was the MVP to get the Lakers to the championship. It wasn't Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a phenomenal player, but there were a lot of games and I watched every one of them in that bubble where I'm like, if it wasn't for LeBron stepping up, they would not have won.
I
get it, but MVP is based on the season. It wasn't based on before the bubble. I'm looking at total body of work. And it was great to have Anthony Davis who can take some of the workload off of LeBron. That's awesome. But you know how NBA basketball is. It's not until you get close to the playoffs. That's when real basketball happens. That's when the real deal happens, right? So I'll disagree there. But I will say that you are right that I was disappointed in LeBron commenting on that because it doesn't matter. You did what you did. You tried to help a person. And those of us who've been in leadership roles, there's that one employee that we all tried to help. Mm-hmm. We tried to develop. We went to bat for that. For whatever reason, they just couldn't get there. And it was their fault. And they want to blame us, but you did everything you could to try to help coach them up and they didn't get there. That's on them. Walk away and let it go and let them talk shit. Let them all, let them say all this negative stuff. Kyrie just says all kind of crazy Kyrie things because to me, Kyrie is not that intelligent, right? He's an intelligent basketball player, but he's also the person who said the world is flat and all these things. He's randomly throwing out on Instagram, these Malcolm X quotes with no context around any of it. Mm-hmm. He's not that sharp. So why would you pay attention to that person who is just saying bullshit? Just let it go. Who cares? You're LeBron James. You won all these championships. Why even respond?
You know why? Because he knows Kevin Durant is better in the clutch and a better shooter in the clutch than he is. And that's why. It's true. And that hurts. And LeBron's response is, I've taken the shot many times. Yeah, you've passed many times. So that has been the big complaint against LeBron that a lot of these experts have said. And that's why it hit hard. Now, Kyrie did say he wasn't talking about LeBron. I mean, everybody else knows he is. But I'm just saying, he said, we're going to take him at his word. Not that the world is flat, but that he wasn't talking about LeBron. So one of the things you sent me this week was something that's perfect way to kick off this bullshit.
Yep.
Came out of, well, all, like all great things, it came out of Walmart.
Yeah, so there's this viral video of this girl who's quitting Walmart. Mm-hmm. And she's videoing herself, and she gets on the announcer, on the phone deal, does the announcement that she's quitting, pretty much calls out certain people. People aren't shit. These certain managers are perverts and all this other stuff. I hate this job. Walmart treats its people like shit. She's been there maybe a year, year and a half, and you know, she quits. And I watched it, and I'm just like, okay, this is interesting.
I got a video.
And oh, do you? Let's see it. Let's see it.
Attention, all Walmart shoppers, associates, and managers. My name is Shauna from Cap 2, and I just want to come on here and say Henry is a racist, stinky prick. Giovanna is racist. Elias is a prick of a manager. This company fires black associates for no reason. This company treats their employees like shit, especially Cap 2 and Jimmy from Sporting Goods, Joseph the cashier, Larry from Garden Center. You are all perverts. And I hope you don't talk to your daughters the way you talk to me. Shout out to Ariel. Fucking love you for getting me this job a year ago when I needed it most. Fuck the managers. Fuck this company. Fuck this position. And fuck that big lazy bitch, Chris Price. I fucking quit.
Kudos to her giving a shout out to the person that got her the job. It's like, hey, I know I'm about to make you look bad because you referred me, but I want to say you're awesome. You know, so shout out for that. But if you hate your job, quit. Now, I will say, if the allegations of the managers being perverted and disrespecting her and treating her inappropriately, if that's valid, awesome. But go to HR. Let's go through the right channels.
Yeah.
But to do that on the overhead speakers at, within a Walmart to customers and whatever, if you don't like your job, just quit. Don't do all the fanfare. Just be like, hey, this is not for me. I quit a job once. Only job I've ever quit. And it was working in a warehouse. And I remember we were working this assignment for the military, and I'm putting together, you know, beds and all this type of stuff. And I got this, you know, air gun, you know, nail gun where I'm shooting nails in. And I was 18 and I'm working like 12-hour days. I'm like, what the hell? This is not for me. Like, I want to go to college. I want to party. I'm young. And I just went to the foreman. I'm like, hey, I quit. This is not for me. But I didn't know all this like fanfare, like, attention, everybody, this job is bullshit, you know, and all that type of stuff. I just don't understand those videos when I see those go out from someone that works in HR and recruiting. I just don't like seeing those. So I just feel like it doesn't do anything.
Well, it does do something. It goes viral, as it did. Caught your attention. You sent it over. Got our attention. Here we are talking about it. Here's the bad thing about it. There's nothing. What people don't think about when they do these videos and they try to create these viral moments, because there's no way you do that without trying to get a viral moment, because she recorded it to do that. She didn't just do it just to piss the people off in the store. Right. She did it to make sure that everybody, because there's another video of some of the employees standing around like, oh shit.
And yeah, there was a customer that was like, oh my God, this is happening.
Yeah. You're right. But your face is on there. If this goes viral, which it did, where are you going to work next? Because if I Google you, and that's what people do, they Google you, you go apply for a job, they're going to Google you. What pops up? That video pops up. I'm not going to hire you. Yeah. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to come in and do that. Yes. If all the things you're saying are true, there's a way to go about that.
Correct. Correct.
What you did is not going to correct it at all.
No, even if like, yeah, I can see you now, a year from now. Attention, Hobby Lobby shoppers. You know, this is bullshit. I got to work on Saturday nights, and this happened, and this happened. And then, like, you know, 2 years from now, attention, Michaels. You know, for those who are looking for yarn and string, I got something to tell you about this company. Like,
and why is it called Michaels anyway? You know, the people who shop here are mostly women. So it should be Michelle.
Sexist. This place is so sexist. It's like, if you want to quit, just freaking quit. So, and don't do all the drama and all that stuff. I just don't get that.
Of course, you know, I went down this rabbit hole because this reminded me of I netted a mood setter, which I don't think you probably never heard of her, but she was in doing radio in Mobile, Alabama, and she got on and she did this whole little spiel as to a big announcement and says she's leaving, and then to end it, she goes, "I quit this bitch," and that's been radio legend for a long time, right?
Yeah.
But then there's this other one that I forgot about this. I swear I thought I saw. I may have seen this a while back, but it's about this reporter, and she just is wrapping up a story that she had done on cannabis and the legalization of it in Alaska. And here it is, so you can catch what she says as story's finished. Because, you know, they get done with the story, then you see them standing in the studio with the screen behind them, and this is her speech after that.
Now, everything you heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but fuck it, I quit.
All right, we apologize for that. We'll be right back.
Look, I don't know what's funnier, the fact of the way she did it, because she was so smooth, calm, you know, and she didn't call anybody else. She just went, you know, fuck it, I quit, and walks off. The anchor has no idea what to do next. Okay, well, sorry for that. We'll be right back. And I cut it there, but she actually goes on because they're like in her ear telling her, no, read the next story.
Yeah, I mean, I've had jobs I've hated, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had jobs I've hated, got another job opportunity and gave notice. I think you still handle that stuff respectfully, professionally, because you never know. You don't want to burn a bridge, right? No matter what, you don't want to burn a bridge. Why would you do that? You know, I just don't see what's to gain from doing that. To me, I look at that as just a really immature way to handle any job that you want to quit and leave. If you want to quit, leave. I mean, no job, at least in 2020, to my knowledge, there are no jobs that put shackles on you and make you stay and work there for years. You choose to do that. If at some point you're not happy with your job, quit and go find your joy.
Yeah.
You know? Promote yourself to full-time customer and quit. But why would you go through all this drama? I just don't get that.
You think you said
and go viral, to your point that you made earlier.
Yeah.
Record it and like put it out there so you can go viral. So now other employers potentially can see you do this. I would never hire you.
Well, granted, okay, so for the reporter, she is in the cannabis business. So I don't think she's ever going back to TV, period. Because, you know, there's money to be made there. But at the same time, it's you put this. Yeah, it's funny. Here we are laughing about it. But you know, and I know, if you have somebody who does something like this and they pop up like that in your Google search, that takes them down. They could be number one on your list to be hired, but it's going to drop them a couple notches.
Yep.
By a couple, I mean probably about 15 or 20 notches, you know.
Yep.
Have you seen this bullshit? Snoop Dogg says that Cardi B and Megan's WAP is not, what's the best way he put it? He said, leave something up to the imagination. And I'm going, wait a minute. Snoop Dogg, right? Are you, Calvin Brodus, right? The same guy. Mr. Bitches Ain't Shit But Hoes and Tricks, right?
Exactly. I was thinking the exact same thing as you were talking about it. The first thing that came to my mind is about, okay, leave it to the imagination. I once knew this bitch named Mandy May. Used to give like
every day.
This was the bomb. Yeah, I was like, that was in my imagination since my senior high school. And so I'm like, tell me more, Snoop, about how people shouldn't like put all their bullshit out there.
He did say this, though. He did say that, keep in mind, I am an older man. And when I was younger, I probably would have been on the remix. And I said, okay, at least he cleaned that up. Because when you think of The Chronic and you think of Doggy Style and you think of anything Snoop has done over the years, you go, you can't tell Megan and Cardi anything. Because when you were their age, you talked about a whole lot worse. and leave it up to the imagination. No, no, no. You gave us the full play, you know? And at the end of the day, I think it comes down to what happens when we get older. And as we get older, we start to look back on the last generation, the next generation, the same way that the generation before us looked at us. Yeah. I mean, I remember once a guy says to me, man, these rappers nowadays, this rap music, I can't take it. I'm like, what'd you think of Tupac and Biggie? He's like, man, I love them. What'd your parents think of them? But they didn't like it. I'm like, exactly. It just means you're getting old, brother. That's all. You're just getting old.
Totally true. I mean, because I'm with you. This is why I'm not a Cardi B fan for a lot of different reasons beyond the lyrics. I'm not a big Megan, you know, the Trainer. Megan Thee Stallion fan. I told you every time I'm going to do that. I'm not a big Megan Thee Stallion fan. I just don't care about all that. And when I listen to the lyrics, I'm just like, this is not for me, because I feel like I've aged out of that group that thinks that's cool. I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's hot. I don't look at a girl that wants to like twerk and do those things that they're doing in their videos. I don't look at them as attractive. I'm just like, why? Now, when I was 20, 21, hell yeah. That kid was awesome, right? And so I totally get it. I'm with Snoop in the fact that I would age out. But I don't think that as an artist, you can't make your career saying these things. And then now that you're older, condemn women for saying just about the same shit you did, except from a female perspective.
Right.
That's my issue with what Snoop is saying. It's like, dude, shut the hell up. Sometimes you should just be quiet. Just because someone asks you a question doesn't mean you should answer it. And so that's my issue with what he said, is the fact that you can't judge their stuff because you said a lot of things that inspired a lot of people and artists who are still doing and saying the same shit that you said.
Yeah.
And then now you're going to judge them and say, we should leave something to the imagination, by saying they should be doing something a little more classy, a little more, you know, subdued than what you had thought was okay. That's bullshit.
And let's not pretend like women in the 90s were, you know, leaving anything to the imagination, because between Lil Kim and Foxy Brown, I still have that album cover in my head.
Oh, when she said, I mean, a Sprite can disappear in my mouth. Yeah. I mean, Lil Kim was a beast, right? But it'd be the same as if Lil Kim came out saying, hey, Cardi B and Megan, that's a little too much. Y'all being extra. I'd be like, Lil Kim, you need to sit down. You need to sit down somewhere. I know you're a grandmother now and all that stuff. Yeah, you just need to stop it.
And by the way, here's a Sprite can. Let's see if you can still do that trick. Not a Sprite can. How about a Red Bull? Can you do it with this?
Red Bull. Exactly.
Oh, let's get something to drink, man. What you drinking, man?
I got Bullet 10.
Oh, you got the good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you had Bullet 10. Bullet 10, some good shit. Definitely like that, part of the Bullet family of bourbons, but it's delicious. Goes down smooth.
Yeah, I have not had that before, so I've definitely got to try that. I'm going back to the Monkey Shoulder.
Monkey Shoulder.
Yeah, buddy. Get a little bit of that shoulder.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
Monkey Shoulder's not bad.
I didn't realize on the bottom of the bottle it actually has monkeys on there too.
Yeah. I think the story, there's one place that sold Monkey Shoulder. They told me, I was like, why is it called Monkey Shoulder? And they were saying that in the mines, the people had to carry these rocks and stuff on their back in this bag. And they have to climb out of the mine and dump it. And because they carried it over like one arm, it created this like what they called Monkey Shoulder. Was this like lump. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was a cool story.
It was a good story.
Yeah, it was a cool story. I'm like, Monkey Shoulder makes sense.
Probably made that shit up. Like, I got a story for the next person.
He probably did. He probably totally bullshitted me, but I'm like, you know what? It made me want to keep buying Monkey Shoulder. Every now and then, at least once or twice a year, I buy a bottle of Monkey Shoulder because of that. Because I feel like I've had a hard day. I've been carrying the struggles of life on my shoulder.
Well, here's to all the struggles of life you've been carrying.
Struggle.
I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit.
Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers. Right.
Cheers, brother.
Yep.